welcome to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey, where it is our mission to empower Christians with boldness and courage in every place. This is Jacob Hawk, the host of this podcast. You may be sitting in your car in traffic, walking in your neighborhood, exercising at the gym, or just trying to relax after a long day, but we are thrilled that you have joined us to spend time in God's Word. For more content, writings, podcasts, and other materials, I invite you to visit drjacobhawk.com. May God bless you richly and have a great day. Well, I want to welcome you back to Road Talk, Navigating Your Journey. I am excited today to have a guest on the podcast. It's been a while since I had a guest come with me on the Road Talk, but I am privileged today to have with me Kason Conley, who is one of our youth interns this summer here at Preston Crest. I've got to know Kason over the summer, and he has a great heart for the Lord and for ministry, and so I wanted to have him on just so you could hear a little bit about him and his story. So, Kason, we are glad that you're with us today.
Thank you, Jacob. Really excited and thankful to be here with you.
So you are a student at?
I'm going to be a junior at Abilene Christian University and studying Bible and ministry there.
Abilene Christian University, originally from, is it Weatherford?
Grew up in Fort Worth.
Fort Worth.
And right now I live in Aledo, which is right outside of Fort Worth.
Okay, my apologies to the Fort Worth crowd. Aledo.
Yeah.
Very good. And you've been at ACU now. This is your, what? I know you're a junior, but what? How many years have you been there now?
So this upcoming year will be my second year.
Second year. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I did some work at a community college before you went to AC. Very smart. Save some save some money before you get too far into debt. Well, I've asked Kason to come on today to talk with us a little bit about ministry and why he is pursuing ministry. And rather than me tell you why he's doing it, I wanted you to hear it from him yourself. So, Kason, first question today, what interested you in pursuing ministry as a profession?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question, and it's a long story. It's a long road, and I flash back to when I was in high school and had no idea what I wanted to do. And you reach the middle point of high school and you start hearing counselors and teachers, got to figure out what you want to do. Where do you want to go to college? What do you want to do with your life? And I never knew what I wanted to do. And the day I graduated high school, I still didn't know what I wanted to do, didn't know where I was going to college. And, I think the day after I graduated high school, I decided I'm going to go to community college for 2 years and take some time to figure out what I want to do with my life and where do I want to go. And so I did. And after my first year at community college, I was at Weatherford College. It was the June after I ended my first year, and I was doing some work at my house, and the youth minister at my home church called me. It's Marty Kay from South Main Church of Christ, and I had only had one interaction with him before, and I'm not sure how he got my number, but he got it, and he called me, and he said, "Kason, I need another male counselor for a camp I'm taking my youth ministry to." It was Pine Springs in New Mexico, which is owned by Lubbock Christian University. He said, "Kason, I need one more guy that can be my counselor. I know I've met you one time, but heard about you, and I need one more guy. Can you come?" And I said, "Marty, I'll think about it. I don't know, but I'd love to go if I can." Hung up the phone, and I was like, "I'm not going. I'm not going to New Mexico with a bunch of teenagers I've never met before." But Jacob, I had this burning passion in my heart that was saying, "I need to go. I need to go. I need to go." And I went, that was the greatest week of my life up to that point. To spend a week in the mountains in New Mexico, getting to pour into students, and that week I got to know so many great students from our church and from other churches. And I saw that I had an impact on students, on high schoolers, on middle schoolers. And, I took an interest in them, and they took an interest in me. And when I saw that, I kind of thought to myself, I like this. Yeah. I think God may be calling me to minister or some type of thing like that. And after that, I got very involved in my home church and in its ministries. I got to know Michael Lum, our preaching minister, really well, and he took an interest in me. And that's what got me interested in preaching, is his desire to take an interest in me there. And so ever since that week in New Mexico at Pine Springs Summer Camp, I've just developed a passion for students, to help them live for Jesus, to help them know that their purpose lies in Him, and a passion for speaking into others, speaking life and speaking the truth of Jesus.
Well, that's quite the story. Very special. I do wonder if you would have felt as called to ministry if you had gone to camp where I grew up going to camp. It was not in the mountains. It was one of the ugliest places in the world. So at least you had a very scenic place there in New Mexico to go and enjoy camp.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a lot of things. You've been a college student, still are a college student. You're working with our students this summer here at Press and Crest, and you've grown up around churches. So I'm just curious from your perspective as a, I guess you're 22, is that
22,
right?
22,
as a 22-year-old, what do you think are the biggest challenges that the church is facing today in 2024?
You know, one thing that comes to mind when I think of, you know, as a 22-year-old, you know, I want to ask you the question, Jacob, and to your listeners, how many people in your life do you know? They say they know God, they say they believe in God, but they're not really living for Him. They say they know Jesus, but they don't know the character of Jesus. They don't know how faithful He is. They don't know how good He is. They don't truly know that He loves them and what He did for them, what He came to do, and how much we have to live for Him. And so I believe one of the biggest challenges that the church faces is emphasizing to unbelievers and those on the fence that living for Jesus is so much better than living for the world. You know, Jacob, you and I both know that the world is appeasing. It can be satisfying at times, but it leads to destruction. And, you know, Jesus said that our spiritual enemy, Satan, continually prowls around seeking for people to devour and to destroy. And the church has to do a good job of staying on message that the world, it does not lead to life. It does not lead to abundance. And we have to make sure the church is doing a good job of making non-believers and those on the fence ask the question, how will I live differently because of Jesus? So
is a word that I could use to find that answer then maybe authenticity.
Yeah.
That people, when they look at Christians, they don't seem genuine or real or different than anyone else. So if a proclaimed Christian lives the same life as someone from the world, why would I want that if there's no difference between the Christian and the person in the world?
Yeah. That's a great point. And one thing that I'd add to that is, you know, when I have an opportunity to speak somewhere, whether it's at a church or, you know, Devo somewhere for students, or I always ask the question, how beautiful is it that if you're a follower of Christ, if you know Jesus, you don't have to go to the world to find your peace. You don't have to go to people to find your hope, but you can go to the one who literally came to this earth to set you free, to die on a cross for you. And how amazing is it that when you choose to follow Jesus, you don't have to place your trust and hope in the world anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you've mentioned when you go speak places, and then you mentioned your preacher at the church where you were taking an interest in you. And this summer, you and I have got to share a lot of conversations about preaching and what it means to be called to preaching and the life of a preacher. So, Kasem, what do you think defines what we often call, air quotes, powerful preaching? What is powerful preaching?
Well, my answer may surprise you, but I believe it's compassion. And you know that's one thing I believe that's come to define powerful preaching is compassion. And I say that because of a perspective I have from a minister I know. When I'm at ACU studying, I attend the Southern Hills Church of Christ, and speaking with the preaching minister there one day, and he said, "Kason, when you're speaking and when you're preaching, you have to remember that people in the pews are hurting. Mm-hmm. They're looking for hope. They're looking for joy." And it really reminded me that everyone has their own story. Each individual has their own battle, their own trial. Each person in that church, in that pew, in that seat is looking for purpose. And I think that as a speaker or preacher, when you prepare your sermon through a lens of compassion, it says, you're saying, these scriptures that I read and these words that I say to this congregation are going to impact hurting people. The words that I say are going to bring unexplainable peace to someone who's suffering from depression and anxiety. They're going to bring the truth that I speak through Jesus is going to bring a sense of identity to that teenager who has lost their way. They can restore a dead-end faith. They can bring real truth and hope to that person suffering from addiction or whatever it may be. And the words that we speak will give hope to that person, to remind them that there is a home beyond this earth, that our purpose doesn't lie in this earth. And so I think that you really create and speak a power-filled sermon and speak powerfully when you feel compassion and when you prepare with a sense of compassion for your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah, that's excellent, Kason. And you know, I've talked, dynamic does not necessarily mean loud or boisterous, and people often define dynamic preachers by how loud they are, how animated they are, and that's not it at all. Mm-hmm. I love the element there of compassion, captivating people's hearts, bringing them hope, bringing them comfort, making them want to remain Christians when they get up the next morning and go to work or wherever they may go. Yeah. So, great answer. One thing I think you see and we're all aware of in the church is that a lot of churches struggle with what we call the generational gap. You have the youth group or the student ministry, and then you have the rest of the church, and sometimes it's hard to build that bridge between those who are students in high school or junior high and then those who may be 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. So as someone who's serving right now as a youth intern and mainly working with students, what do you want churches in general to know about today's youth?
Yeah. Well, I've had the opportunity to serve as a youth intern the past two summers. Mm. Last summer at my home church, and like you said, this summer here. And so I have observed things about these students and about these young people in the church, and it is that they really are looking for hope. They're looking for answers. They want to know Jesus more. Jacob, these are students who are really living in a dark time in history. I mean, I want you and your listeners to imagine, what would life look like for you if you were a teenager right now? I think it'd be pretty hard. These students are living in a really hard time in the history of our world. Students are battling anxiety more than ever. So many of them feel so unworthy. And the church needs to be a place of refuge and of peace for them. Mm-hmm. The church needs to be a place where students know and they can be comfortable knowing that they will be taught truth, a place that they can come for hope, and a place that they will be taken an interest in, that the older people will love them. Mm-hmm. Just today, I was talking with one of my students from last summer at the church I was at, and I kind of asked her this question, and she said, "We want to be reached out to and mentored." These students want to know that they don't want to just know that those people are a part of the church. They want those people to be involved in them. Mm-hmm. And they want that interest to be taken in them.
So they don't want to be spectators. They want to be more participants in the church.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. These students, and a lot of them, want to be leaders in the church. They want to be difference makers. You know, I want to encourage, if there's church leaders listening or whoever, if you're a member at a church, encourage these students to get involved. Encourage these students to lead worship, to lead a prayer, to lead communion, read a scripture. Invite these students to participate in leadership meetings within the church. Let them see how decisions are made inside of a church. You know, one thing I want to go back and ask to those listening, and to if you're a leader in a church or wherever you may be, what are you doing to make students in your congregation feel loved? What are you doing to show them that you care, that you care about them and you really want them to be there? And one thing, Jacob, I want to ask you, I want you to envision Preston Crest without a youth ministry, without a children's ministry, and without a young adults ministry. How different would the dynamic of our church be? And to those listening, what would your church look like without a youth ministry? You know, maybe your church doesn't have a lot of students, or it doesn't have a youth ministry. What would it look like with students? How different would it be? And so,
that's a good question.
I just say all that to say, students are craving Christ. They want to know Him more, and they want leaders in the church to take an interest in them.
Right.
They're looking for hope, and they're looking to be leaders in the church.
Right. Right.
So,
really, really good thoughts, Casey, and it encourages me. You know, I guess I'm the old guy in the room. I'm late 30s, so looking at the 22-year-old, I remember being 22 right out of school and going into ministry, wanting to change the world. I'm glad to hear the fervor and passion in your voice. Hope you keep that fervor and passion all of your days. Let me ask you this question, though, Casey, because we spend a lot of time, and rightfully so, in the conversation about what do the older people need to know about the youth, and I think that's a very important question, because we do want the youth to feel loved and accepted and part of the church. But let me ask the flip side of that question. You're working with students, you're older than they are, and you're, you know, finishing up your college years, and you're going to be part of Working America. What do you want students to know about the church?
There's a few things that I would want students to know about the church. If you're a teenager, you know, I just want you to know that the church should be a place of refuge. It should be a place that you can come to find peace, a place to find hope and depend on your brothers and sisters in Christ. And church ultimately is a house of worship. It is a place to come and lay your burdens down at the feet of Jesus, to set your mind on the cross and on the empty grave, and be reminded of the victory that we get to walk in every day because of what Jesus did. You know, I didn't really know that and find true meaning in what I just said until a couple years ago. I was battling overwhelming anxiety and bouts of depression in my life after my first year of college. And, you know, it was around that time that I got very involved at my home church, the South Main Church in Weatherford. And I got very involved in its ministries, and I got to know the people very well there. I got to know the ministers very well. And it was in this season of my life where hope always seemed to be stolen from me, where I always felt to be standing on unsteady ground. And it was in those moments where I could not wait to go to church. I couldn't wait to go on Sunday mornings. I couldn't wait to go on Wednesday nights. I couldn't wait to go to small group, because there's something so cool to know that there is a fellowship of believers who are struggling with something. They all have their own scars and wounds, but they come together and they gather around the truth found in Jesus and the hope that we have in Him. And it's for that time that we can set our burdens down, lay them aside, and find the truth found in Him. You know, one thing that I also want students to know about the church and about people is that sometimes the church will hurt you. And It is a place that will let you down. It is a place where sometimes people will tell you no when you least expect it. You know, the church, you know, here on earth at least, it's a place that's run by humans. It's mm-hmm. We're sinners. We fail. We make mistakes. And I just want to encourage students with this, that the decisions people make that hurt you, the lies they may tell, the pain they may cause, that is not a reflection of who Jesus is. Mm. And it does not change who your Heavenly Father is. There is a song I love. It's written by Phil Wickham, who's one of the most well-known Christian singers and songwriters. And the song is called Worthy of My Song. And one of the lines says, "The way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve." He's talking about God, of course. And I love this because I love that line and that verse because it demonstrates that our human circumstances, the problems we have with other people, it will never change who God is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change His love for you, and it doesn't change the fact that the one who literally created the universe, put the galaxies into motion, it descended to this earth to give His life for you. And so people are going to hurt you. The church is going to cause pain sometimes, but that does not change who the Lord is. It doesn't mm-hmm. change who God is and how worthy He is. And being hurt by the church doesn't change who you are. No matter what, you know, Jesus, the King of Kings, you know, He still calls you His child. Mm-hmm. And nothing can change that. Mm-hmm. And so church is a place of refuge. It's a place of peace. But it's a place that people will hurt you from. And that does not change who God is, and it does not change his church.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so that was dynamic preaching right there. Very powerful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
You.
And sometimes, you know, we have to accept and realize that we may be on the end of hurting people and not realizing it. Mm-hmm. But we're human, and we get hurt, and we hurt, and we have to acknowledge that when we are at fault.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your time today, Kason. So you're going to go back for your junior year. So
yeah.
You've got two more years. And then your plans, I guess, right now are to go into ministry?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not sure what type of ministry. You know, my specification is I'm studying youth and family ministry, but love to preach and speak.
You have a gift.
Thank you. I just whatever doors God opens, I'm content with. And but I just love Jesus and I love what He did for me, and I can't imagine not working in His church.
Amen. Even if you don't get paid for it one day, you're always
going
to be. Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're a church and you'd like to have Kason come speak to your youth group, I know you're on Facebook because I'm the old guy on Facebook, but
yeah,
I'm sure you're
yeah.
also on Instagram.
Yes, I'm on Instagram.
Okay. Any other yeah. social media platforms?
Oh, man, I would just say Instagram and Facebook are good.
Yeah, keep
yeah.
it simple.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. Well, Kason, thanks for joining us today. Kason is going to be speaking for our young adults gathering at the end of the month of July, and I think we're working him in some on Sunday mornings, doing some communion
yeah.
devotionals for us here at Preston Crest. Hope you have a chance to get to know Kason Conley. Kason, thank you for blessing our church this summer, and best of luck to you as you begin your junior year at Abilene in the fall.
Thank you, Jacob. So thankful to be here with you.
Absolutely. And for those tuning in today, as always, thank you for spending some of your time with us today here at Road Talk. Keep your eyes on heaven, and I can't wait to talk with you next time. God bless.